Hi, this is Jim Wilson, author of Tuned In, Memoirs of a Piano Man, and you're listening to Follow Your Dream with Robert Miller.
Everyone has a dream. Robert Miller is a musician who had a dream to become a rock star. He followed his dream, and he succeeded. If you're ready to pursue and succeed at your dream, then listen up and get inspired and motivated to take action today. Welcome to the Follow Your Dream podcast.
It's the time of year that your heart just craves.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to another episode of the award-winning Follow Your Dream podcast with listeners worldwide in 200 countries. I'm Robert Miller, your host. You know, the tagline to this podcast is music and much more. Well, today's episode fits somewhere in the middle between these two. It's about technology in the music business. My guest today is Josh Simons, the CEO of Vinyl Group, which includes Vamper, a social network for musicians with over 1 million users, and Jaxta, a music database company. He's also formerly an artist himself and a producer who's worked with Kanye West, among others. My featured song in this episode, and I always feature a song of mine underneath the introduction and at the end, and I always try to make it relevant somehow. And in this instance, I've chosen the song New Wind from The Singles Project, my recent EP. I chose this song because it's a song about welcoming in the future, and Josh's company is all about the future of the music business. So I thought that it fit. So, Josh Simons, welcome to the Follow Your Dream podcast, baby.
What a wonderful introduction.
All right. So you had this wonderful career as an artist and you gave it all up to be a CEO. Why'd you do that?
You know, that's actually, I remember the very moment I made that decision. This story I hope will resonate with some people, but although not many people have probably been in the position I was in, but I was touring with Keith Urban and Carrie Underwood, and I'd just come off stage. I was the lead singer in my band. The band was called Buchanan. And it was the final night of a world tour that we'd just done. And we'd played to, I don't know, I think something like 150,000 people in the last 8 days. And as I was walking off stage that night, I just burst into tears. Like I was, you know, the crowd didn't see, not that I would have cared, but I was sort of walking off and I just uncontrollably crying. I think at that very moment, I knew that was probably the last show I would ever play, because my tech company had raised some money at the exact same time that we were on this big tour. So just as my career was peaking as an artist, my tech career was starting. But the problem is with tech, of course, you're taking on other people's money to fund projects, and that you have a fiduciary responsibility to those people and to their money to make a return. And when you're very, you know, when you're first starting off as a founder, you don't necessarily have that pressure, especially if you're bootstrapping, which means you're paying for it yourself, or you're making enough money to cover costs. But as soon as you take someone else's money, the idea of you being able to kind of do two jobs goes out the window. And I knew it just in my bones that was probably the last serious show I'd ever do. And sure enough, it kind of was.
All right, but I don't understand this. You were a musician. You're out there. You're playing for hundreds of thousands of people.
Yeah.
Why did you decide that you wanted to be a tech entrepreneur?
I don't think I decided I wanted to be a tech entrepreneur. I decided I wanted to build the product that I built. So I was actually between London, LA, and Melbourne. I know it's three different countries and three different cities. But I was struggling in London in particular, in a market where I should have been winning. I didn't have any contacts there. Like, so my band started in Australia and we had a great management team. We had a great promotion team. We had a great publishing team, but it was all very Australian centric. And I didn't have any of those people in other countries. And so when I was trying to break in those bigger markets, it was like banging my head against the wall. And it wasn't for lack of ambition or talent. It was, I didn't have the right people around me. And there was no networking solution available to help with that utilize technology. And so that I just sort of started plugging away. And initially it was just an idea, and everyone has ideas. But, you know, then you start to put a prototype together, and then you start to talk to people, and you start to understand, oh, this is maybe the kind of people I'd need to hire. And before you know it, you're running a tech company. So I don't think I didn't set out to create a tech company and be a tech entrepreneur. It just kind of happened while I was still in the throes of my music.
You slid into it, it sounds.
Yeah, I did.
All right. You got to explain, what the heck is a vamper? Okay. Why'd you choose that name? First time I saw it, I said, oh, vampire. That's pretty interesting. Okay. He's dealing with dead musicians or dead notes or something like that. Then I said, wait a minute, I'm pronouncing this wrong. What is vamper all about?
You know, we do deal with dead musicians these days on the Jack side, but we'll come back to that. We deal with their estates and help make sure that their estates are making as many royalties as they can. No, but vamper, to go back a step, is, to put it in layman's terms, it's a LinkedIn platform for the music ecosystem. So initially it was, you know, I'm a bass player looking for a drummer. I'm a producer looking for a singer. It, over the years, it's expanded to 27,000 categories, and it's gone on beyond music. And so now it's, I'm a videographer looking for band managers to connect me with their artists. Like, it, there's lots of different layers. LinkedIn for music. The reason we chose the word vamper is to vamp in music is to kind of jam and play around a set of chords and ideas and things that you have in sort of musical common while you kind of find a groove, right? That's vamping. And that's kind of what we're doing, just holistically.
Got it. All right. So it must have started small, but now you got like over a million people that use this thing. What is it that they do? They go online, they get an app of some sort. Tell us how that works technically.
Yeah, you download the app, you go through the onboarding experience. So, you know, it asks you, what do you do? So, you know, I play guitar, I produce, I'm, you know, an artist. Then it asks for, you have to put a minimum of 5 of your favorite musical artists. But we, if you log in through Facebook, it pulls out automatically. Yeah, you put in your favorite artists, and we use that. That's like the most important ingredient, because the algorithm uses that to connect you with like-minded people. Then you put in, you know, what genres you like. Then you get straight into it, and you can start networking immediately. And we algorithmically present people that you may want to connect with based on what you've told us. But of course, like any good platform, you can go in and customize that. And so then you can edit your search preferences and say, I specifically want to find a banjo player who likes Pink Floyd and lives in Arkansas. Like, you can do that and you'll get a result.
I got to tell you a little vignette. I'm a little bit older than you, okay? And I got out of music for 15 years at one point, when life just got in the way, okay? And when I got back into music, there was this little place in New York City, which is where I'm from, that I used to recall a musician's dating service. It was a physical location, and they had several rooms, and they had amps, and they had drums, and they have all the stuff. And you went down there, and you said, I want to play Led Zeppelin, second album, the B-side. And somehow or other, they'd find 3 other idiots that wanted to play that with you. And that's how I got back into music.
And that's
sounds to me like you've high-teched this entire thing.
Yes, that's right. I was going to say that's exactly what we've built, but for online and for the 21st century.
Fantastic. Now, people are, I assume, located all over the world.
We have active users in every single country on the planet.
Okay. So I'm a bass player in the United States. I want to form a band.
Yeah.
Do I have a guy in Bangladesh that's saying I'm a guitar player? I mean, how does it work? How do you do the location stuff?
I mean, the algorithm's complex at this point. So have we got a couple of hours? It depends. No, there's things called like mutual matching. So it depends on what, like if I'm the bass player in New York and I want to find a local band and I select that I'm looking locally, there's enough checks and balances that the guy in Bangladesh probably won't see, because we know that you're not interested in being discovered internationally. So that's like a function of the algorithm called mutual matching, but I don't want to bore you or your listeners with algorithms and all that kind of jazz.
You can find the people you're looking for. That's the bottom line.
That's the bottom line. You find, and it shouldn't feel like work for the end user. It should just happen. That's, you know, it's that sort of Apple mentality and ethos that we've tried to apply here.
And what's the arrangement with you guys? You got to become a member of some sort, or do you pay as you go? How does that work?
No, so it's a freemium platform, which means you can sign up. 70% of the stuff that we offer is free and will remain free, you know, forever. There's a paid version called Vamper Pro. Vamper Pro just means you can make more connections. You can use a few additional services. So we have like a music academy on there. We have some sync licensing opportunities that people can submit for, music distribution with different royalty tiers depending on if you're a pro member. So pro just unlocks a few additional features, but a healthy majority of the people are not paying, and they're seeing music related ads that we serve to them.
All right. So how do you stay in business? How do you make money for those people you took money from?
So they're seeing ads related to the music industry. So we have a sales team in Los Angeles. Their only responsibility is to fill the inventory. So, you know, we know how many eyeballs a month will people will see ad units. And we built our own ad platform because we kind of thought it was A, the right responsible thing to do, and B, it helped to sort of avoid some of the things that a lot of other social networks are criticized for, like selling data and all that. So we built an ad platform. And like I said, we know how many ad units we have per month. And then we have a sales team that goes out, fulfills that inventory, and, you know, charging advertisers $10 for 1,000 views or what have you. And that's how we make money on the rest of the database.
I got it. Okay. Kind of like the podcast industry, which a lot of guys, of course, sell ads. I don't do that on this show, but other people do it. Okay, I get that now. Hi, everybody. This is Robert Miller, your host. You know, one of the many benefits to me of doing this podcast is being able to collaborate musically with some of my guests, who are among the best musicians in the world. My first collaboration was with the great Jim Peterik of the Ides of March and formerly with Survivor. Jim and I collaborated on The Fall of Winter, a song about a blue-collar worker who dreams of a better life. Also contributing was Elliot Randall, the renowned guitarist. John Helliwell was the amazing saxophonist in Supertramp, one of the greatest bands of the rock era. John collaborated with me on my 2023 album, Bobby M. and the Paisley Parade, and he's featured on several tracks. One of them is This Time. Tony Carey is a singer-songwriter and keyboard genius who played with Ritchie Blackmore's Rainbow. Tony has collaborated with me on several recordings, including his exquisite organ playing on All of the Time. I want you all of the time. I need you all of the time. And I've just finished a new collaboration with the brilliant trumpeter Randy Brecker, formerly of Blood, Sweat, and Tears, who plays on my new single, The Rich Ones. Collaborations like these make the podcast very special indeed. As always, thank you for listening and keep on rocking. So why did you sell this great company to Jaxta? What was that all about?
There's several reasons, but the simplest explanation is, A, I've been doing it for 8 years as a private US company, and to really accelerate things, and we needed an accelerant. Otherwise, our growth was good, but it was linear, and we needed to somehow blow it up in a good way. Because there's an expectation after being in it that long from your investors and even from your own team that things will move. The problem was, it was sort of the year 2022. We'd gotten through the worst of the pandemic, but only the start of the miseries of the tech crash really that happened that year, where as a result of companies like mine in 2021 raising astronomical valuations when money was flowing freely through the US economy and all of that.
All right, hold on a second. I got to ask the question. What was the valuation you got?
When we sold or when we were at our peak?
Go ahead, you tell me.
Well, at our peak, we were sort of post money about $25 million US thereabouts.
Good for you. And who did you raise money from? Was it from institutions or private individuals or what?
All of the above, literally angels, institutions. We did a couple of crowdfunding rounds in the United States as well. We were one of the, I think, in the 1% of the companies that sort of sold the maximum number of securities that the SEC allows. Through those platforms at that time, they've since updated the laws. But So we literally raised from every possible source. That made selling the company very tricky because we actually had to unwind all of these different classes of shares and the things you learn the hard way, right? You wouldn't necessarily structure things the same way. But to finish answering the previous question, the reason that we sold, we were going to have to do a down round in order to just keep things going linear. And that didn't sound as attractive to anyone. And I was worried I'd lose talent and I was worried I'd lose shareholder support. So looking for a company with a similar mission, coming at it from a very different point of view where 1+1 would equal 3 very quickly. So a sort of mutually beneficial partnership, I thought would be a strategic way to accelerate things when in a market where money was tight. And it turned out to work very well. So we came together with this company in Australia called Jaxter, which is like IMDb for music. They literally went out and had procured metadata from every single rights holder, pretty much conceivable, 370 plus data partners. And it's sort of the world's only official music credits database.
All right. Explain that in layman's terms to my audience so that they understand what you're saying.
Sure. So, you know, when you want to know information about a film, you go to imdb.com.
Well, if you're a professional, yes. But okay, that's a website. I'm just trying to explain for everybody. It's a website where you can get all kinds of information about the people and the films and the like that go into entertainment these days.
So in music, well, if, not just music, but metadata is basically the background liner notes. If you think back to the old record days and looking through a record and reading the liner notes of who was involved.
You're dating yourself, Josh.
I know. And we own a record store called vinyl.com, so I go down that rabbit hole. But basically metadata is, you know, anytime you hear music, who's the writer, who's the producer, where was it recorded, what are the lyrics, how long is the song, who owns the copyrights, who contributed to the tracks by way of performance, et cetera, et cetera. So all of that information is what we call metadata, and there's an industry sort of standardized format called DDEX, which probably doesn't mean anything to most people listening. But one of the industry's problems is no one's actually done a particularly good job of collecting this across, especially between publishers and master recording rights holders. And so there's, I'm just trying to simplify it as best I can, but if someone was able to build an official database from official sources, sort of an authority on metadata that could help connect the publishing information with the recording information, it would potentially solve a very big pain point for the music industry as a whole. And that's what Jaxter did.
So who is using Jaxter? Is it the artists? Is it the rights holders? Who uses this information?
Some artists use it just to maintain an official presence online. And it's a good way for them to, for example, submit for the Grammys if they can say, here's my official credits. But those are becoming more and more of the edge cases. The main people who use it are CMO, like collection societies, publishing companies, lawyers, estates, as we joked about earlier, but a lot of estates use it to make sure that, you know, the people who have passed on, that they're representing all of their works accurately and that they're not missing out on any versions of the recordings.
Let's pause there for a second, because for the people in the audience, the music industry, the record business, has been notorious for decades for not paying the artists what they were supposed to be getting as their royalties. In fact, back in the late 90s, I bought a record label and we acquired the catalog of the party that we bought it from. And they had, you know, 1,000 different recordings. And I would say almost every day there was another artist that would come forward with their handout saying, gee, we never got paid. What can you do for us? Mm. And it was a sad situation. And that's been so much of the situation in the record business. So it sounds like Jaxter, in your own way, is helping to solve that problem. Am I right?
Yeah. In an important way, as I always clarify, we're not out there collecting royalties for anybody, but we're helping the companies that do collect royalties make sure they're doing it more accurately.
Okay.
And the other reason that it was created was, again, to be kind of like a professional Rolodex of the entire music industry. And so that's where the synergies with Vampr line up, because Vampr was a networking tool from the outset. Jaxter was a database. But if you smash the two together, can you have the most dynamic marketplace on the internet for music? And the answer hopefully is yes. And that's what we're working on at the moment.
All right. Well, I wish you a lot of luck with that. Before I let you go, I got to ask about Kanye West. Okay. Was he as nutty back then, whenever you knew him, as he is now? What's going on?
I worked at his North Hollywood studios called No Name, which has been dissolved, but that was when he had his quite well-known record label called Good Music. And so I recorded out of there for the first 6 months I lived in LA, and then a little bit after. And that was just around the time he got hospitalized for exhaustion, and then went away and lived in Wyoming and did, I think, 5 albums, 7 songs an album. And so I was around during that period where it was sort of him beginning to connect with God a little bit. So I watched that transformation.
All right. Well, that must have been an interesting transformation. That's for sure.
Indeed.
He's out there. That's for sure.
He is.
We have been speaking here with Josh Simons. Josh, it's fascinating what you're doing on the technology side. I want to wish you all the best, and I hope this becomes a gigantic success for you. Thank you for being on the podcast.
Awesome. Thank you, Robert.
All right. We're going to listen now to that song that started off the episode. It's my song called New Wind. I want to thank you all for listening, and we'll see you in the next episode.
Thanks for listening to the Follow Your Dream podcast. Make sure to subscribe, rate, and review the podcast so you don't miss another inspiring episode. You can connect with Robert at robert@followyourdreampodcast.com. And you can hear more from his band at projectgrandslam.com.
It's the time of year that your heart just craves renewal for the whole human race. Blow away all the ill wind. Its time has come and gone. Welcome now. Sing the springtime song.